Christmas. Don't be distracted by those presents that you saw under the Christmas tree. Happy Christmas, John Campbell and Derek Walker.
Thank you.
Bless you. And, you know, we thought maybe we'd study something to do with Christmas today. But I thought we'd start with a poem or hymn from the 15th century. Adam, lay ye bounden, bounden in a bond, 4,000 winter, though he not too long, and all was for an apple that he took, as Clarkis Finden, written in their book. Don't know whether I pronounced it correctly, John. What was that book that we're talking about, John? Finden in their book.
I don't know. I've never heard it.
Well, shall we read something from
it? We're going to read something, and we'll bypass this bit about the apple, because nothing... Yeah.
Adam, lay ye bounden. That's how the song starts. It's a carol. But yeah, if you read Derek prays, and then that will keep me in order.
Okay. Yeah, that's what
Christmas.
We need to do, because we've only got half an hour. Yeah. We're going to read from Genesis. And although we might nip up the page a bit, we're only going to read, Genesis 3:15.
That's what I like to hear, because we could read chapter after chapter. No. Let's go for one verse.
And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
Lord, we thank you for this time of year where we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, who was prophesied from the start of history. He actually came in the fullness of time to save us, to redeem us, and defeat the devil. Lord, we thank you so much for being our champion, for being our hero, for winning the victory, for crushing the enemy underfoot. We praise and we glorify you. And Lord, just make it real to us all the more right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, we talk a lot about presents at Christmas time, but this is the real treasure, isn't it?
It is.
Having the Bible and having the message contained. John, over to you.
Yes, I mean, it might surprise some people that we're starting our Christmas Bible study in Genesis, but it's absolutely the right place to start. There are lots of other places we could have started, we have done in the past, but it is absolutely the right place because the whole gospel story is contained within the first three pages of the Bible. And that is quite surprising to some people. And we're going to look at what is going on here. It's in the context, as everybody knows, of the disobedience, the rebellion in the garden, and the serpent seducing Eve into eating of the fruit of the tree, and her in turn seducing her husband. We know that's the story. And so at that point, humanity has fallen. It's nosedived almost into oblivion if the Lord in his mercy hadn't been there to catch us, the everlasting arms, you know, there to catch us. And here in Genesis 3:15, the Lord speaks first to the serpent. And he curses him in the immediate and says, on your belly you will go, that's verse 14, along with various other things. But then he looks into the future. He says, this is the consequence now, immediate suffering. But there's going to be eternal consequences for this.
Yeah.
And here we get this in verse 3:15, or chapter 3:15.
Yeah.
And this is what's so extraordinary, is that the Lord is speaking not to Adam and Eve. He's going to speak to them in a minute, and they're going to suffer consequences. But he's going to deal with the major problem first. He speaks to the serpent. He announces the gospel to the serpent.
Yeah.
And these two, Adam and Eve, are just in receipt of pure grace.
Yeah.
At this time, yeah. and it's been so ever since. And you know, when this extraordinary word, it's extraordinary, we'll explain why, is introduced when the Lord says to the serpent, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. Now, what we have to remember is that the Bible never talks about ancestry in terms of her seed. It's always his seed.
Yeah.
It's the seed of Adam. It's the seed of Abraham. It's the seed of whoever. So never does he the Lord in anywhere else in Scripture talk about the seed of the woman mm-hmm. as being the way humanity and so, humankind is you know increased.
So that is it, that's setting the seed.
That immediately mm-hmm. tells us something, mm-hmm. and so here we have we have a clue about how original sin is passed down exactly. the line. It is a I know people have argued about this for years, but it's a personal. Perfectly reasonable deduction
yeah.
that original sin goes down through the line of Adam.
That's mm. it.
The woman is equally sinful,
yeah.
but she doesn't pass it on to her child.
Right. Yeah.
So any what I'm suggesting to you, I mean, obviously Eve was, Mary was favoured among women,
yeah.
and in the right time she conceived.
But she was born of man.
Yes, exactly. And any faithful woman could have been the carrier of the seed because she doesn't pass on the sinful nature.
So you've given us a brilliant intro.
There we
John.
Are.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, my first question to Derek, is it important to believe that this was a physical event? Because there have been insinuations over the last couple of hundred years that actually there never was a physical Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And this is just one of the myths of time.
It is written as history.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you start playing the myth game,
yeah.
you know, you've lost the plot. And sadly, even a lot of evangelicals do. Mm. And it's really because I think that...
Well, they say it's a spiritual man. It's a spiritual truth.
They bought into the false, I would say, spirit.
Yeah.
I would even call it the lie of evolution.
Yes.
And because of that, it then becomes quite hard to fit Adam and Eve historically
yeah.
into that way of thinking.
Yeah.
You can kind of do it, but increasingly you... The New Testament itself treats Adam... you know, as a historical figure. And if you remove Adam, you start destroying the gospel. So yeah. you have to take this as history. Yeah. And, you know, and this is the very first prophecy of the Messiah. And therefore, the first mention of anything is clearly important. Mm. And this tells us the crucial thing, as John was saying, the difference about the Messiah is because we're all born of Adam, we're all under sin, as Romans 5 says. Mm. And so we can't save ourselves. I don't care what we do. We can't save ourselves. We're all slaves of sin. Yeah. And therefore, the Messiah has to be a human being in order to identify with the human race, but he can't be contaminated with sin. And therefore, that required the virgin birth. Mm. In other words, that he's not the seed of a man. He doesn't have a human father. He's the seed of the woman. This is the first title of the Messiah. This is essential to salvation, to believe in the virgin birth, that he is not the son of a man. Therefore, he's the son of God.
Yeah.
He's the son of God, the virgin-born son of God, and therefore he is himself God.
Yes.
And as they believed, as Adam and Eve
because
believed.
Because in the, you know, obviously the logic or the rationale of him saving the sins of the world, you know, it wouldn't be possible. However good a man he was, one man could die, you know, and satisfy the justice, one good man, for one sinful man. But it doesn't satisfy the justice, as it were, for the whole of humanity.
That's right.
That's the mystery.
Only God can save.
Only it's quite something. I mean, this scripture as well, John, just does... It's the first instance of evil being injected into creation.
It is, and we see just how evil it is because it's manifest only one generation later with Adam and Eve's firstborn, Cain, who's a real stinker.
Yeah.
When you really analyze it, he really is a real stinker, and the Lord is so kind to him.
Yeah.
He says, if you do right, he gives him every opportunity, but he just says, no, I hate you, effectively saying, I hate you, and I'm rebelling against you. While I'm about it, I'm going to murder my brother.
Mm. Yeah.
This is how man, unrestrained,
that's the sin nature.
In any form by the Holy Spirit, that's how he behaves.
But one other thing, and that is, you know, it might as well go into Romans 8. I mean, the whole of creation is groaning, waiting in expectation for the redemption. Now, this sin affected not only humanity, it affected all of creation.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's quite
because
a thought.
Because God gave man dominion over the earth,
yeah.
the whole earth. So the curse that came on man came upon his whole realm,
yeah.
which is the earth.
Mm.
Yeah.
So another, by the sweat of his brow, you know, in other words, you know, instead of having the Garden of Eden, he's got thorns, he's got a dysfunctional.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, another little thing with Cain that's interesting is that, you know, Adam and Eve interpreted this prophecy that this Messiah was God. He was God and man. He's the God-man.
Yeah.
And that's the Jesus Christ is fully God, fully man. This is the wonder of Christmas, is that God himself became a man. And so he's got to be the Son of God, the seed of the woman. But Genesis 4:1, it says, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. But again, the translators aren't helpful here because she literally said, I've acquired a man, Jehovah, the Lord. In other words, this man, this is, she was expecting Cain to be the fulfillment.
That's right.
Okay. This boy is the Lord. You know, she thought she would be the
seed of woman.
She's the woman, you know, and naturally
and that would be. And she didn't have grandparents, so she wouldn't be thinking about grandchildren.
She'd be thinking, this is the answer to our problems. Yeah. Yeah. But of course, she soon found out that he wasn't the Messiah. He was a very naughty boy.
That's true. Don't bring them into it. You know, it would be a distraction. But no, it's fascinating. They realized it then. That's evidence that they realized that there was a promise there in this curse. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, when you think of the intimacy they had in the garden up until the point of the fall, but they didn't lose the knowledge of that intimacy and you know, to
intimacy with God.
Yes. Mm. And
they knew a lot more than
And to their children, they would have talked about all these things. And the oral tradition still operates today. Yeah. So they would have known, and Cain had no excuse to behave as he did, but he was a God-hater. Mm.
But they would have also known that in the curse on the serpent and his seed, that he would bruise his heel.
Yes. Mm.
So I wonder how they thought, what they thought about that being fulfilled.
Adam also brought in a sacrificial system.
Yeah.
Because every year, you know, Abel offered up that sacrifice, and it says that they did that every year in the course of. Yeah. So God had led Adam to bring in the sacrificial system. Mm. But of course, the first sacrifice, God himself killed an animal and clothed Adam and Eve. So already he was teaching them that the covering for sin is through the shedding of blood.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he will crush your... I think they understood lots more.
I think so. The concept of atonement was there.
Even Genesis 3:15 is very compressed language. But Adam, we've got to realize, he would shame us, you know, as far as his intelligence is concerned. Yes. You know, he was on a level higher. Even after the fall, he lived almost 1,000 years. You know, he had that, as John said, that experience with God and a deeper knowledge. Mm. And everything's condensed in Genesis, but he would have known a lot. So I think he saw that the coming Messiah would, through his suffering, through his death, would actually... And so the classic interpretation is that the Messiah will crush your head. And of course, he's speaking to Satan. Mm. And the Messiah will crush your authority. He'll defeat you. And he'll defeat your dominion over mankind.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you will bruise him in the heel.
Exactly.
In other words, he will take the serpent's poison on himself, which is sin, which is the sting of death, is sin. He'll take the poison of sin into himself and suffer death. Mm. But in his resurrection, he will crush you underfoot.
Well, isn't it?
It's an amazing thought. Yeah. John, right at the beginning, you mentioned about this curse that went through the man.
Yes.
And there have been, you know, in more recent times with DNA, you know, understanding, a thought, well, that sort of parallels the XY chromosomes and the XX chromosomes of the woman. And the Y chromosome is analogous.
Yes.
You know, that you can't prove that biologically, but it's analogous.
It's highly probable, given the evidence that we have.
And
I mean, it's only a few words, but my goodness me, you apply your mind to it.
Yeah.
That's what it's saying to us.
And then Romans 5, given that we're now over halfway through our Bible study, you know, Romans 5 is saying, look, as it were, sin and death reigned
Yes.
From the time of Adam
yes.
to the time of Moses.
Yeah.
Even over those who did not breach the Ten Commandments, because it was pre-Ten Commandments,
yes.
yet they had this curse of sin and death.
So there's the transmission of the sin.
Yeah, yeah.
They're carrying it.
Yeah. And we receive that sin nature. Yeah.
And
thank you, Adam.
In a wonderful example, we know lots of them, in a wonderful example of biblical symmetry,
yeah.
we have the serpent here in the third chapter of the Bible.
Yeah.
And then in the third chapter from the end, in Revelation 20, we have him identified. It says that serpent of old who is
yes.
Satan.
It's amazing.
So, I mean, you know, we know who it is, but the Bible doesn't leave us guessing. It makes it very clear.
Yeah.
And it's just this beautiful symmetry. It's just amazing, isn't it?
I find it amazing that in Beijing, you know, in the tradition of all the emperors, they had the Temple of Heaven, where once a year the emperor would go. It was a Day of Atonement to atone for the sins of the people.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
It didn't come through
our Christian gospel, but it seems to be sourced right there to the dawn of time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quite amazing. So, and they obviously do celebrate Christmas now over there, so hopefully they'll get this broadcast, if the Chinese Communist Party will allow it. So just please, you know, Xi Jinping, just allow this one little Christian broadcast to be allowed across China.
Mm. Yeah.
Derek, what were you going to say?
Well, just to complete the picture, that's a messianic prophecy, the first messianic prophecy.
Yeah.
And of course, it's developed in Isaiah 7:14, where it says, verse 13, "Hear now, O house of David."
Mm.
So this is going to relate to a birth in the house of David.
Yeah.
And then in verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." Mm. In other words, something supernatural. "Behold, the virgin," not a virgin, but the virgin, that is the virgin prophesied in Genesis 3:15 that the Jewish ones were looking forward to, like, "Will it be me?" or whatever. Mm. "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," which means "God with us."
Yeah.
And of course, this is God himself with man.
Yeah.
That's the Messiah. He's the God-man. And if you're going to be saved, you have to believe. Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." You have to believe in Jesus, not just as a man, but as the God-man, the unique God-man. And then it was fulfilled through Jesus Christ, just to cover this. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. "This was done that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,'" which translated is "God with us." So Jesus Christ is God with us. That's the wonder of Christmas.
So the Bible is not just sort of random ramblings of text, and eventually it lands on something that correlates to Genesis. There's this consistent theme, which is really awe-inspiring.
It is awe-inspiring, and as I think we said in one of our Bible studies within the last month or so, because you posed the question, you know, how do we know where we are on the redemption timeline? Is that this baby is born 4,000 years after the Lord, you know, give or take, but I mean it's 4,000 years, which is absolutely what it should be. The first 4 days of creation, we still need another two. Well, that's after the crucifixion. So, you know, it's all there. It's just unfolding perfectly. And the amazing thing here is that the light from the Garden of Eden goes straightforward and radiates, you know, lights the manger, and that moves forward and lights the cross.
Yeah.
This is a continuous line of revelation and faithfulness by our God.
And what I find most profound is that God, he's omniscient. He knew this whole unfolding of time. And what he himself, what the Lord Jesus himself would go through, and yet he still initiated it.
Yes.
That's deep grace.
Yes, it is. This is the start of Christmas. I mean, this is what we're celebrating.
Yeah.
If the Lord hadn't said this, there'd be no Christmas.
Yeah.
Or this is it.
But
the gift of a saviour.
The tragedy is that we're living in a very shallow age where there isn't any appreciation. And in fact, even that hymn, that carol that I started with, no one would have a clue what that means.
They couldn't pronounce the words.
And by the way, I didn't do the second half, which talks about the Queen of Heaven arriving on the scene.
Well, we don't want her.
You know, Mary was a very special,
she was,
you know, part of the fulfillment. And you say that she, it could have been anyone.
No, I'm saying biologically, it could have been anyone. The woman doesn't pass the thing on.
Correct.
But she was the chosen, favoured one.
She was special.
Yes, absolutely right.
Yeah. She wasn't sinless.
No, she wasn't sinless. Absolutely. Yeah. She wasn't.
And she's not the mother of God, so to speak. I mean, she did
she's the mother of the human
nature. Mother
of
the man Jesus.
That's right.
She's not the mother of God.
She's the mother of his human nature.
Yes,
that's right. Yeah.
Can I just show how Genesis 3:15 is the seedbed for the whole spiritual warfare?
Do we give him permission?
Yes.
Okay, it's Christmas, so on this one occasion, we'll let you just take
it. I want to hear this.
Well, this never happens during Bible study.
Oh, no. It's something that just a few months ago I came to see, that there's more going on in this than we think.
Yeah.
Because we tend to look at the characters here. I'll put enmity between you, Satan, the serpent, and the woman. Now, immediately, you have to ask the question, what's going on here? Yeah. There will be an ongoing spiritual warfare between Satan and the woman. What does that mean? Does that mean that Satan hates women? Of course he does, but he hates men just as much. Yeah. So
he hates the seed of woman.
If the woman is just Mary, does that make sense? There will be this warfare between Satan and Mary.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. So I started to ask, what is this woman? And also, the seed of the woman. Let's think more about who that is. And also, who's the seed of Satan? Her seed, the seed of Satan. Well, let me answer that very quickly. The seed of Satan is all those whose father is Satan. I would say everyone in the kingdom of darkness, all the fallen demons, angels, and also the men
who
have embraced the lie of Satan. So it's a corporate thing. The seed of Satan is a corporate thing. So who is the woman? Mm. And I would say you can't limit the woman to Mary. Mm. The woman
or
is...
Or to Eve.
Yes, or to Eve. Mm. But it is a corporate entity that brings forth the Messiah.
Yeah.
Now, the proof of this... And what I'm getting to say is that essentially, it's not exactly true, but essentially, the woman is Israel. Mm. And the proof of this is Revelation 12. Where it talks about a woman appears in the heavens, and I'll do this very quickly.
Yeah.
And she is identified as Israel because she's clothed with the sun, the moon's under her feet, on her head 12 stars. And that relates to Joseph's dream in Genesis 37. There's clearly Israel. And there's a spiritual warfare in the future, in the tribulation, over Israel.
Yes.
So the devil's still after Israel. And then she is the one who brings forth the man-child, who is destined to rule the nations, who's Christ. This is all the spiritual warfare. Mm. This is what I came to see is that Revelation 12 is the equivalent of Genesis 3:15 in the New Testament. It's kind of the outworking.
Yes.
And here you see the same characters. You have the woman who is the one who brings forth the Messiah, but it's not limited to Mary, because we see that in the tribulation she flees from the dragon who's trying to kill her into the wilderness. So the woman is Israel.
Yeah.
So I think the first aspect of the spiritual warfare here that is being predicted is there will be a warfare between Satan and Israel. Mm. Before Christ, Satan tried to destroy Israel because Israel's to bring forth the Messiah. But even after she's brought forth the Messiah, Revelation 12, he's still trying to destroy the woman, Israel. Mm. Why? Because the kingdom of God is going to be established on earth through through Israel because of the covenant. So Israel is still the target of this anti-Semitic satanic spirit and anti-Zionism. This is identified as a key component of the spiritual warfare.
Excellent.
And then the other aspect is between your seed, that's the seed of the woman, and her, your seed, Satan's seed, the kingdom of darkness, and the seed of the woman. Mm. Now, I've also come to see that the seed of the woman is also corporate. And yeah. I don't have time to yeah. prove this, no. but
you definitely don't have time because we're in the last minute and a half.
let me give you one verse. But in Galatians 3, it makes it yeah. clear that yes. when we are in Christ, we are part of Christ.
That's right.
The body of Christ is part of That's Christ. Right. So we are in the seed of the woman.
Exactly.
We're on one side of the spiritual warfare and the kingdom of darkness. And the last verse then, sorry, yeah. is verse 17 of Genesis, Revelation 12. Yeah. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. Her seed, the seed of the yeah. woman, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Yeah. In other words, we are, exactly. in Christ, the seed of the woman.
Yeah.
So this expands the meaning of Genesis 3:15.
Powerful. John.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I see it, or another way I'd express it is that the church was always in the womb of Israel. Mm. From the tabernacle onwards, you know, here in the holy place, and Israel gave birth to the church. The veil was torn. I equate that to the breaking of the waters, and then you've got the period from that to Pentecost, which is the church is in the birth canal, if you like, yeah. and then she's born and breathes life at Pentecost.
Wow!
And I think it's quite powerful there.
Yeah, it is.
It is powerful. So that Israel is our mother, in a sense.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And if you want to be on the right side of the spiritual warfare,
yeah.
you need to understand from Genesis 3:15
yeah.
that the enemy hates Israel.
Yeah. That's absolutely clear. Shall we end with Isaiah 9, verse 6?
Unto us another a child one of these, is born.
Yes, we this could say it together. I mean, it's another one of these random verses.
Yeah, it's not. It's
totally disconnected. Yeah. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Happy Christmas, in the truest sense, both of you. Bless you.
And to you too, Tim.
And to you.